Our first reading this morning comes from the 15th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, as the laws for the Jubilee and sabbatical years are given to the community. So a slight correction in the verses we'll be reading. We'll hear this morning from the 7th to the 11th verses found on page 171 of your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near, and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and giving nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. Give liberally and be ungrudging when you do so, for on this account the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. Here ends the first reading.
It is good to be back in worship in between mission trips. And if you'll forgive me in advance for not staying to commune with you following the service, we're catching a train right after. Our second lesson comes to us from the book of Acts in the second chapter. Listen for God's word to the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all, as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Earlier this year, following Easter, NBC premiered a new show based on the Bible, A.D., The Bible Continues, as a follow-up to the series about the Bible the previous year. This new series depicted the early church in the book of Acts, in all its drama and intrigue, and certainly played up for television. As I noted this new series, and whether you saw it or not, what I was reminded of is that the formation and the challenges and that the faith that the early church displayed is something that can shape our faith today. It's not just good for network ratings, but it can also inspire us in our giving and in our living. On our recent Dominican Republic mission trip, we had plans to do some sports ministry. And if you're not familiar with the idea of sports ministry, it's simply sharing together with locals in the community over something like a game, and then having a time of prayer afterwards and offering them an invitation to the local church. So we decided to organize a community baseball game. We planned for many months in advance. And you see, if you didn't already know, Dominicans love baseball. Baseball is life. In fact, the town where we were serving, San Pedro, is home to major leaguers Sammy Sosa and Robinson Cano, among others. So in preparation for our trip, we gathered donations of baseball equipment, and we even made a special trip to Dick's Sporting Goods. We traveled with 18 baseball gloves, 50 baseballs, and 2 bats, enough to fill an oversized duffel bag. Once in the DR, our staff trip leader went to the local field to talk to the coach about planning a game for the community. He told him how we were a group from the U.S. who had brought equipo, or the Spanish word for equipment. The coach seemed very interested and, in fact, scheduled the game for the very next afternoon. As game day arrived, our big bus pulled up in front of the church where we were staying, and so we went out into the neighborhood and invited anyone who was available to come join us for this baseball game. We ended up with nearly 50 children and youth who filled the bus with laughter and smiles as our mission team seamlessly wove in with our new Dominican friends. As we were approaching the field, off in the distance, I could see what looked like a team wearing official uniforms. I thought to myself, wow, they certainly are taking this game seriously. We got closer, and as we started getting off the bus, I realized this was no neighborhood team. They were expertly fielding ground balls and running sprints with precision. Clearly, our game had been misscheduled, and we happened to show up at their practice. And so our staff team leader decided to go over and talk to the coach to figure out what the plan was. After conversing, he figured it out. When he was talking the day before and told him that we were an American group who had brought equipo, that also happens to be the same word for team. So the coach understood that we had brought an American baseball team to play them. And certainly were pretty disappointed when we walked off the bus in our shorts and t-shirts. Not only that, our group leader came over and said, "Who's up for fast pitch?" Which took us back for a moment, because we were expecting a slow pitch game in which everyone could take a turn at bat, so a few of us reluctantly raised our hands. Thankfully, a few of our new local Dominican friends jumped in to fill out our 9-person roster. Now, we didn't even get a hit or score a run. But that day, we got something even better. We were reminded that generosity unites humanity. What we found out after the fact was that all the children and youth who rode the bus with us, many of them had never even been on a bus before. And what we so easily took for granted would be a treasured memory for them. Once we got to the field, we started handing out our baseballs, and there was a line of kids all the way out into the outfield just for the chance to have a brand new baseball just for them. God showed us in a powerful way how generosity can bring us together. And we left that day with numerous new friends. Generosity is a universal language. It speaks through language barriers and differences in nationality. And when we are open to the opportunity to give, amazing things can happen. While there's no historical evidence that the early church in Acts ever played a baseball game, like us, they were a church on a mission. Previous to the passage we hear today, this early church experienced the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost, and Peter preached the first Christian sermon with an unprecedented response. 3,000 people repented and were baptized. In our scripture this morning, we hear how this early Christian community responded. Professor of Religious Studies, Scott Schoaf, who also authored a recent book on Acts, writes that when we experience the presence of God, giving and sharing is the natural Christian response. And so it was for this early church. What they show us today is that God is the initiator. God is the one who gives and gives through us. The giving and sharing done by the early church and even done by us today is only made possible by God's generosity. We are the vessels through which God's generosity is poured out to the world. In this early church, we read how they communed with generous hearts. And it was in the Dominican Republic that we met a man with an incredibly generous heart. During the week, we got to know a man named Joel. I felt a special connection with him because he and I are the same age. He became our saint during the week. He went with us wherever we went to keep us safe. When we were asleep at night at the church, he stayed up and prayed all night for us. We were all blown away by his generous heart. Though Joel wasn't always found at the church in previous years, 4 years before, he was deeply involved in drugs, both using and selling. He was living a dangerous lifestyle, far from God, bringing harm to himself and to others. And then, miraculously, one morning after a terrible night, he woke up on the steps of the church in San Pedro, knowing not how he got there. Feeling as if he had hit rock bottom, he decided to go into the church. And members of the church attended to him and prayed for him for the next several hours. Later that day, Joel went home and discarded any of the drugs he still had in his possession. He now has a ministry in the community where he helps pull people out of that life and into the church. He collects clothing to give to those people he knows who are still involved with drugs. Many of them wouldn't think of entering a church because they didn't feel as if they had the right clothing. He makes it possible for them to enter the church and offers that invitation. During our last worship service of the week, I noticed that Joel was dressed very sharply, wearing a green plaid shirt. I happen to like plaid myself, and so I went over to him after the service and told him how much I liked his shirt. We had a short conversation after in some of my broken Spanish, and then we went our separate ways. Not expecting to see him again, he showed up later that evening. He was carrying a plastic bag, and he came up to me, not saying a thing, and handed the bag to me. So I took it, opened it up, and inside saw the green plaid shirt that I had commented on just a few hours before. He had literally given me the shirt off his own back, and I was blown away. I tried to hand it back, but he wouldn't accept it. Joel's generous heart was made so evident in that moment. It was impossible to deny God's presence in that moment. He wrote a letter to our group the last night. In it, he said, "Having met you all just for the first time this week, I feel like I have a new family. We had a special connection. And perhaps one of our BMPC youth said it best in saying that we often read in literature about Christ-like figures, and now I feel like I've actually met one. Joelle's generous heart is something that will always stay with us. Even though we were serving in the DR for such a short time, that memory and that communion will last a lifetime. In the book of Acts, we read about how this community shared their generous hearts together. And I wonder, has Christianity become the global religion that it has because it is founded in generosity? Christ himself generously gave his life for the sake of the world. There's nothing greater that could have been given. And both the early church and we today live in response to that gratitude. And so today I invite us into boldly giving. Giving with our lives in incredible ways. Fearless generosity. Imagine if anyone who entered this place felt that there was nothing we wouldn't give to support them. While we're certainly not going to sell all our possessions like the early church, we can give in bold ways. And when we are open to the Spirit moving within us, we will be moved to greater generosity. Because as we are reminded, generosity unites humanity. If the world is watching us as the church, let's show some generosity. Give boldly and fearlessly, as it is most pleasing to God. Thanks be to God. Amen.